Todd Furman is our Vegas insider.
Words to live by.
Joins us each and every week here on Cap and Haw. Todd, good morning. How you doing? How's life in Vegas, buddy?
Morning, Todd.
Things are good, guys, but Cap, you don't need that kind of money to be a lunatic. You already have that market cornered, so congratulations on that.
Thank you, Todd. Yes. Well
nicely,
done.
Nicely played. Well played. All right, let's start with tonight's game. We've got Steelers at Ravens. From a handicapping perspective, does all the Ray Rice stuff going on affect the players and the coaches, or no, once they get on the field, it comes down to blocking and tackling?
Obviously, a ton of distractions have gone on all around this Ravens team. Of course, Ray Rice, even if he hadn't been cut by the side, wasn't going to be eligible to play tonight, serving out that second game of his suspension. This game takes on huge meaning on the field more so than off, given the fact that Baltimore came up a bit short in their home opener against Cincinnati. You never want to start your season 0-2 in the division, especially with two home games. Pittsburgh made things closer than they needed to be last week against Cleveland, but maybe showed a few kinks in their defensive armor. What we've seen from this number is Baltimore opening as a 3-point favorite. Initially, there was money that came in on the Steelers, pushed it down to 2.5, but that's largely public money so far. About 7 out of every 10 tickets coming in on the dog really expect we'll get back to 3 and think that Baltimore is the side here. If you can lay anything less than a field goal, this game means a lot more to them than it does the Steelers.
Todd, how do you explain where the Bears line is right now going into San Francisco?
This number is interesting mainly because I don't think any Bear fan wants to try and back the Bears given the performance they saw on Sunday against Buffalo. But the big difference being Buffalo was able to take advantage of the Bears' defensive front by running the football for nearly 200 yards. Anyone who had the chance to watch San Francisco against Dallas saw a team that looked old, at least on the defensive side of the ball. Yes, they built an early 21-3 lead, but at the same time, two of those touchdown drives, one came on a turnover, and the other one was set up by a turnover where they only had to go 2 yards. They didn't score in the second half against Dallas's much maligned defense, and despite strong numbers from Colin Kaepernick, I'm not sure San Francisco's a team that's going to run away and hide right now. The Bears know how important this game is. Of course, before you walk to the window to bet them, you may want to make sure that Alshon Jeffrey is going to be at least at 85%.
So when you see a line like this, I had guessed last week, I said to David after the game, Bears line will open somewhere around 8, 8.5. And in the Vegas the Super Contest, it's 6. Why am I stunned by that?
They decided to get a little bit cute here in terms of shading the number, but at the same time, I really believe that's where this number will close. What you're seeing now is San Francisco at a soft 7. You have to lay a bit of a price if you want to back the Bears here. I think the Bears have more firepower than San Francisco. They can get enough stops. I know it's been nearly 30 years since they won out there, and so many people remember the game a few seasons ago, but these two teams, very different additions, and I think you're going to see a hungry Bears team, despite the intangibles, working for San Francisco in the new stadium opening. I really believe the only way to look is at the underdog.
How do you explain the Packers-Jets number? Because right now it looks like it's at 8.5. Has that changed? And how do you that seems like a big number for, even though Green Bay is Green Bay, but the Jets look pretty good in week one.
Yeah, this number has really fluctuated in that dead zone between 7.5 and 9.5. I'd be surprised if it crept as high as 10 or got as low as 7, especially seeing that the public believes Green Bay will right the ship after that opening night loss against Seattle. Green Bay, of course, the beneficiary of having some extra time to prepare, but teams coming off a game against Seattle have really been a bad bet in the Pete Carroll era, especially when they're laying points. 2-11-1 against the spread in that type of spot the last 14 times we've seen it. Green Bay, some concerns on the offensive line, which will play into the Jets' strength, which is their D-line, although the Jets need to try and find a way in their secondary to slow down this high-powered passing attack. Green Bay wins this game, but I would definitely lean towards the underdog here, getting inside the number.
Is there a game, we're talking to Todd Furman, our Vegas insider, is there a game on this board or two or three that you go, those three jump out at me?
One game that the number has already been zapped a little bit. The public will be in stern opposition to the professionals, and that's New England against Minnesota. We saw the Patriots open a 3.5, even 4-point favorite here in Las Vegas. That number is coming down, and really believe this number may get as low as 2.5. The math guys are huge fans of this Vikings team. New England, of course, showed a whole lot of issues in that second half, getting outscored 23-0 against Miami. And while it's hard to fathom the Patriots starting the season 0-2, the line move says that Minnesota is definitely the way to look, despite the public thinking they want to back Tom Brady in a bounce-back spot.
Wow, that's a surprise that people are giving that much credit to the Vikings after 1 week. I mean,
I think a lot of it is just the way the Vikings will try and establish their ground game. Miami didn't really need to do a whole lot of that against the Patriots. But the one takeaway for New England is they look lost in the secondary. And I know there was some harsh criticism directed at Darrelle Revis and him looking pretty average out there. Be interesting to see how New England rolls coverage on a Cordarrelle Patterson, and more importantly, how they're able to slow down the tight end for Minnesota. Adrian Peterson should be on track for a big day against his Patriots front.
Were the Bills that impressive against the Bears that they're playing at home against the Dolphins, and it looks like it's a pick'em game. It's a one point. Is that it, Todd?
Yep, right around pick or minus one, depending on where you're looking. I won't say the Bills were that impressive. I think they took advantage of the Bears' countless miscues in that particular game, primarily the Jay Cutler interception late, which allowed them to equalize. But you look at this Buffalo team, and they can run the football. Miami, some concerns in their linebacking core right now. And Buffalo has really had Miami's number. I'll say that the Dolphins were probably a much better team last year than Buffalo. Buffalo was able to sweep the season series. And I think this Bills team, playing with a little bit of momentum, knows how important this game is to try and hold serve at home. Maybe Miami too big, fat, and happy after beating the Patriots, finally getting the monkey off their back.
All right, so your favorite game on the board this week is Minnesota, is that right?
I really like Minnesota, but hard to tell people to take three when you could have had 3.5 before. I'm a big fan of Dallas. I think taking the 3.5 in this particular spot definitely makes a ton of sense when you consider the Titans benefited immensely from playing a bad Kansas City team. And I think Dallas will be able to move the ball, score enough. I think they're a very live underdog against this Titans team.
All right, college football. We have a big weekend. Last weekend, you gave out two games. Both were winners, and you said Oregon's going to win by 3 touchdowns. They came close. It was 19. I think the other game you picked was South Alabama. Anything jump out at you like that this week?
This is a real tough week. I've gone through the numbers, wanted to try and make a case for South Carolina if I could get 7. As we're on the phone now, seeing some money come in on Georgia that's pushed that price up to 6.5, so the number may be available. But the Gamecocks could be overmatch in that particular game. I think one interesting favorite that sets up nicely in Big Ten country, Iowa's been bet down from a 13.5-point favorite on the open down to 10. Yes, Iowa State played well against Kansas State, but they may have left it all on the field. This game reminds me an awful lot of when the two teams met a few years ago. Iowa was about this price favorite, won the game 35-7. I like the Hawkeyes laying the lumber here, minus the 10. Pretty lean card, though. My focus more so on the NFL this week. We'll get into college in greater detail next week.
Back to the NFL. How about the Monday night game? Colts.
This one,
and
you've
Eagles.
Seen money come in on Indy so far. Open 2.5, immediately out to 3. The Colts, a very different animal, playing in their own building. Of course, some major concerns defensively, but Philadelphia without 4 of their top 7 offensive linemen here. And I think Indy showed an awful lot battling back against Denver. Andrew Luck is laying a short price. I would side with Indy here at 3. Would back off, though, if this number does get to 3.5.
All right, before we let you go, last couple I wanted to ask you about. Denver didn't cover on Sunday night. Cost me in the contest because 24-0, I figure I've got it. They end up, the hook gets me, 7.5 was the line. Do they blow out a bad Kansas City team?
This is actually a pretty bad spot to look to back Denver. Before the season, 10.5 would have been the number here. It's a good buy-low opportunity for KC, and Denver has arguably one of their biggest games of the season on deck next week against Seattle. So despite it being a division game, I think you could see a letdown here. KC will look a lot better and think this game could go down to the wire, lean towards Kansas City, especially as this number continues to climb closer to 13.5.
And does Lovey get his first win as a member of the Tampa Bay Bucs?
If he doesn't, it may be time to panic down there in Tampa. St. Louis starting Austin Davis should be a mismatch. Tampa's defense against St. Louis's offense. But I don't make a habit of laying points with bad teams. Much more inclined to go under 37.5 in this game, figuring that Tampa can completely stymie the Rams.
All right, we appreciate all the knowledge. Look forward to listening on the station the rest of the weekend. And best of luck with all your picks.
Good stuff, Todd.
Thanks for having me, guys, and enjoy the big NASCAR race there at Joliet Speedway this week. And I know it should be a great experience for everybody in Chicago.
Do you don't handicap that, do you?
Oh, you bet I handicap it from NASCAR and everything else. Well, we can break that down for you if we got a few minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think when you look at the chase right now, clearly the guys to keep your eye on, Jeff Gordon, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, and Jimmy Johnson. I think Jimmy at 6-1 makes a lot of sense here. One of the 4 tracks that he hasn't won at during the course of his career. And given the dehydration last week, a little bit undervalued here, Jimmy would be my pick to win the first leg of the chase.
Jimmy Johnson. Okay, we'll have to see how that works out. I got to make my pick for this contest I do on CSN. So we'll just make it for him. You just made
it for him.
Todd.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. See ya. There he is, Todd Furman, our ace handicapper, our Vegas insider.